Good evening. My name is Michelle, and I am going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. So just as you're finding that, that's Luke chapter 1, 67 to 80. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, guys, keep your Bible open. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Luke chapter 1 today as we look at the second kind of song in this tiny little series after Song of Songs, the songs before Christmas from Luke chapter 1. And as you can see, when you look around the building, you can see that it is Christmas. There's fairy lights, there's like green plant things. I'm assuming like Christmas tree. I love Christmas season because there's just so much joy, there's so much excitement, there's so much energy, and it means that soon we all get to have a little break. It's going to be so good. We're going to have a little holiday, we're going to slow down. One thing that I have started doing as of this year is watching this. Claire and I would like this to be an annual tradition, watching the movie Red One, which, hands up who's seen that? Yeah, that. It went to from cinemas to streaming within 2 weeks. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Santa's security guard, and Santa gets kidnapped, and he has to kind of track him down. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that. But one thing I love about this time of year is that everyone seems a little more chilled out. Like most offices and workplaces kind of slow down or shut down, and it's a time to be able to kind of just stop and look back and look at the year that's been. And look at the highs and the lows and thank God for each one of them. As we approach this Christmas, you personally might be looking back on a year filled with many things that you can thank God for, many things that you can praise God for. Maybe a promotion at work, maybe a clean bill of health, maybe you have like finished the HSE and never have to study again. Sort of. As you look at your life, there might be a lot of reasons for you to be able to praise God for. But on the other kind of side of things, you might look at your life and see a lot of reasons to maybe even doubt God's goodness. Maybe you've had a dreaded call from a doctor that confirmed the worst. Maybe you've been at the funeral for the person that you love dearly and they never even turned to Jesus. Or maybe you're just feeling a little flat. And when you come to church on a Sunday night and hear everyone singing their hearts out, you think, that's not me. My heart isn't in it. I don't really care. So when it's hard to praise God, what do we do? What do we do? How do we kind of go from here? That's what I want us to slow down and stop looking at our own lives. And I think the answer is in not our own lives, but the one who gives us life. Spending some more time focusing on the God who came down this Christmas, who revealed his kindness to this world, the God who loves us. The passage this evening calls the people of God to praise him, with everything for all of our days. Praise him with everything for all of our days. And as we think about praise, it's one of those Bible words that we kind of say a lot, but do we actually kind of know what it means? Here's a definition that I've had a crack at. So praise, that is heartfelt adoration of God shown through attitude, words, and actions. I'm sure there's more that you could say, but this is what I'm saying. So we're going with that for the next 20 minutes. It is not just singing, although singing is part of it, but rather it is an all-of-life thing, all-encompassing, as you direct your heart towards God. Many of us here might not be Christian, and if that is you, I really welcome you. I honor you. I'm so glad that you're here, because we're doing the most important thing, and that is thinking about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And I'm especially glad because everything that we're talking about for those who aren't Christian is just as equally important as for those who are. Because the reality of all life ever is this. You are not the one who deserves all praise. God is. You are not the one who deserves all praise, but God is. And as we look at our passage tonight, this is because of two really complex points that I'm having to like go to college to work out so I can like wrestle with deep theology and things like that. I hope you guys can grasp what I'm trying to say. That is, we praise God for what he has done, and we praise God for who he is. It was a joke about the complexity. Like, it's actually pretty simple. I hope you can follow with me. We're struck this evening by Zechariah, who had been silenced by God. In fact, when he found out that his wife was pregnant, he was silenced for 6 months and ended up having to resort to some really complicated games of charades in order to try and communicate with his family around him. Can you imagine being his pregnant wife and trying to kind of interact with this guy who was just really struggling to communicate? I reckon as we look at Zechariah's life, he had many, many reasons to doubt the goodness of God, or to kind of just grumble or complain or just be like, ugh. But actually, the first thing that Zechariah does when his mouth is opened is outburst in praise of God, to joyfully proclaim about what God has done and who he is. This heartfelt expression of gratitude directed at the King of the universe is a little rocket fuel for us in our own faith, as we kind of are going and just going, oh, like, is it worth praising God with everything? So let's start. Let's think about what God has done. Everything in this passage is hinged on three things that God has done in verses 68 to 69. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Why? Because he has come to his people and redeemed them, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. These three things that God has done, not just at Christmas, but through all of time, are what we're going to spend some time thinking about now. So firstly, God has come to his people. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? Like God himself, hope himself, has come into the world. Life has entered a world that is plunged and plagued by death. Light into a world that has been shrouded in darkness by humanity collectively turning away from its creator. God is worthy of all praise because he is the God that has chosen to come into this world. I mean, we sing about this at Christmas. We sing about this. We sing about just the amazingness of the fact that God would become a man. I'm looking forward to the upbeat carols at 11, and I'm looking forward to singing with you all and to thinking about this and to really marveling at this together as we encourage one another with words of truth. One song that I've been listening to in my Christmas playlist on Spotify is a song called Who Would Have Dreamed by Sovereign Grace, and the chorus goes like this: who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands? Just slow down and think about that. We, humanity, could hold God in our hands. Sometimes maybe the mundanity of life or the hustle and bustle in all of this, we can actually forget just the gravity of this. That the Creator God, the powerful, the Almighty, took it upon himself to enter our world as a human. That the God who is greater than time greater than gravity, greater than the furthest reaches of the known and the unknown universe, would choose to look at our world, would choose to look at our flesh and go, yep, I'm going to enter this world as a crying, helpless baby. Think about that this Christmas and give him praise. See, remember a few weeks ago when the King of England came? I know there might be some mixed feelings in the room about monarchies and things like that, but I'm just pushing on. He went to St. Tom's, North Sydney, and people kind of flocked to kind of say hi, to kind of cheer, to kind of welcome him into Australia. Some people were open-armed and enjoyed it, and enjoyed having him. Surely the actual king, the one true sovereign, the glorious Lord, not just of the Commonwealth, but of all of creation ever, ought to receive more praise than this. More praise than just a little round of God save the King. Friends, don't forget the amazing praiseworthy deed of God, that he has come into the world. He has come, but he has also redeemed. He has redeemed this world. Now, redemption is kind of the payment in exchange for something else. I recently achieved my life goal of working at the Lego store. I work as a Christmas casual at Lego store Macquarie. Come say hi. It'll be great. And something that we're doing kind of before Christmas particularly is like grandparents or parents will come in and go, I have no idea what to get my child. I was like, great. Would you like a gift voucher? They're like, yes. So they hand over an exorbitant fee of money and I give them a little piece of plastic that is worth the money that they have paid. And so then their child, or realistically their adult sons, get this piece of plastic and then can redeem it for a new Lego set at work. The price has been paid for and the exchange is then made. Maybe a more serious example is the rescue of that Thai diving team a few years ago who were stuck in the cave and then the flood came and then they had to get out. The international rescue efforts, the cost financially was so high. But even more than that, one of the divers actually gave his life. Saman Kunan, who gave his life in the rescue efforts to supply oxygen tanks to ferry these boys out of the floodwaters. That is redemption. He has paid for the exchange. God has redeemed his people. And you'll notice he says the past tense. See, we look at this kind of from this side of Jesus and we're like, yeah, God redeemed us because he shed his blood at the cross. This hasn't happened yet. Zechariah is saying this because he actually knows that God is the Redeemer and God has already redeemed his people. See, way back in kind of before the foundation of Israel as a nation, as this nation of God's people, was the Exodus, which we looked at in the Bible last year, if you were here. And at this point, God has chosen, he was speaking to Moses and he's saying, I'm going to actually redeem the people of Israel out of slavery to the Egyptians. Have a look, Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. I'll free you from being slaves to them and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. The Lord paid for the freedom and release of his people Israel through the blood of a lamb. What a great reason to praise. We have not just the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away not just kind of your status from slavery, but actually takes away the sin of the entire world. Look to him. Praise him. The divers who brought the rescue for those Thai soccer team, well, they were honored and they were praised the world over. How much more might people see the tremendous praiseworthy redemption of our God and give him great praise. Last thing we're looking at is that God has also raised up or resurrected a horn of salvation for us. Now, you might see the word horn and just be like, what? Some of the Bibles have a little footnote that's like a horn is kind of a powerful military leader. And this is what God has done for centuries. God has actually been raising up people so that he can kind of fight through them. Now, if God like wanted to just obliterate people, he could. He could snap his fingers and destroy every single enemy, including you and I. And yet he chooses not to. Throughout the history of God's people, he's actually been raising up people like David to be a military king, to bring peace for God's people, to defeat the enemies of God's people. David, the fallen man, a humble shepherd boy that God has raised and God has used. Now, there's much more going on about what God has done that is worthy of praise. You've read the rest of the passage. We had that read for us earlier. Zechariah can't keep his mouth shut, which makes sense because he's just had it shut for 6 months. He goes on for the next 7 verses and doesn't slow down, doesn't take a full stop. I don't know if you could kind of notice that. 68 to 75 is one big sentence other than the full stop in 68, which ruins my point here, but that's okay. He just keeps going about what God has done and how praiseworthy he is because of it. Let's keep reading from verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. God has come. God has redeemed. God has raised up a Savior. Why? Verse 70, because he said he would. He had made promises to the ancestors, to the people of Israel long ago, long dead. But when God makes promises, he keeps them. God isn't a God who forgets his promises or turns his back on his promises. You might notice the word in verse 72, to remember his holy covenant. That isn't God kind of forgetting. That isn't God kind of he had forgotten. Like every time I go to Aldi, I buy soy milk because Claire needs soy milk for her coffee. Sorry to out you there, Claire. But I forget soy milk every single time I go to Aldi, even though usually it's the sole purpose I go. God isn't like that. When the Bible talks about God remembering, it's actually so much more significant. It's God calling to mind what he has already said and putting it into action. One author, Christopher Ashe, said this. So it means remembering and acting on what is remembered. This is what God has done. This is what God has done this Christmas. See, God's plan to kind of save the world didn't start 2,000 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem. Sure, it was a key point of it. But God had promised centuries earlier through the prophets, centuries earlier through his word, that he would bring salvation, that he would come to his people, and that he would redeem them. Why else does God do this? He does this in verse 74 to rescue his people from his enemies. It's something he does, it's something he has done, it's something he will do continually. Obviously, our enemies aren't necessarily military kind of things like in the context in the Old Testament, but rather our enemies are sin and death and the devil. And Jesus at the cross and in the resurrection has fully dealt with them. And he's going to continue to deal with them and continue to show his power over them until the last day when he returns to call us home and when death will be no more. How good is that going to be, my friends? God's actions show he is completely faithful to his promises. And he has many promises for you in the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you looked back at the year, the look back at your last few years, you might be able to see some of those promises that God has for you in the Lord Jesus. You might be able to see some of the wonderful works that the Lord has done in your life. Zechariah looked back at the history of God dealing with his people and burst out into praise. If you need a little juice for your heart to keep going, to keep praising, look back at what he has done, because he is spectacular. But his works aren't just his works, though. See, they actually kind of reveal who he is. And that's our second point. Praise God because of who he is. Zechariah is like completely kind of infatuated with God. And you can tell that he actually really knows his Bible well. He really knows some of the language of God relating with his people because he's seen God at work. He's seen God interact with his people for centuries as people see God and then pass on that good news. And that's because God is a God who makes himself known. So we don't have to guess about who God is. We don't have to kind of come to church and pick a song and just be like, oh, I guess that's the God we're singing to today. No, actually, God chooses to reveal himself to us and has done for centuries. For centuries. He could have sat off in the distance, but came to this earth to make himself known. We can know what God is like. We can know who God is by seeing what he has done. Have a look at Luke 1:72. This is what he's done for centuries, like I said earlier, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. Zechariah is looking back at the promises that God has made to see what God is like. Now, you might be thinking, like, Josh, this is a pretty kind of major point in your talk. You've got 2 points, and this is one of them. It doesn't have anything to do, like, in the New Testament, where we see 1 John 4, like, God is love. There's no, like, really short and simple sentence like that. But rather, we know who God is. We know what God is like through how he relates with his creation, through how he acts with his world. Through his actions, we get to know what he is like. Picture a young woman going on a first date. There's a bit of nerves and she's like not sure about this guy from church. Like he seems okay. What will he be like? And will he like her? She'll be watching him really carefully because what he does actually reveals who he is. The way he interacts with the waiter at the restaurant reveals what he is like. The way he laughs at her jokes reveals what he is like. The way he quietly listens and is interested in her reveals what he is like. Actions reveal what we are like. I don't know what Claire saw in me when I whipped 3 times on our first date, but I'm glad that we're married. But as we come to Luke chapter 1, we see centuries of the people of God interacting with him and seeing his actions, so therefore knowing what he is like. See, through God coming to this world that we reflect on this Christmas, we see his humility and his intentionality. Through the redeeming of the world, through the blood of his Son, we see his generosity and his faithfulness to his promise. Through the raising up of a Savior, we see the intricacies of his beautiful plan to save you and I, of the love that God has in providing Jesus in your place, and the fact that he actually desires a relationship with even us. See, when you look at what God has done, you get to know God himself. You get to see God's power, God's character, God's actions, God's attributes, God's essence through the way he interacts with his creation, through the way he interacts with you. I'm sure each one of us who has been following Jesus, even for a short time now, would be able to articulate moments of being particularly thankful for his character at particular times. Maybe it's a season of wrestling, being addicted with a particular sin in your life. And as you look back over maybe the last year, you might have been particularly thankful for his mercy and his grace in the Lord Jesus towards you. Perhaps you look back on your life and you are particularly mindful of God's generosity in the Lord Jesus for giving you that Christian friend at just that right time to remind you of the goodness of God, to remind you of his plan to save you. Friends, there's so much that we can know about God. There's so much that we could talk about forever. His goodness, his mercy, his love. This Christmas, cling to him. Cling to the cross of Jesus, where he reveals himself most clearly and most fully, and praise him, for he is merciful. He is faithful. He is holy. He is the one true King. He is the light to the world. He is joy, and he is worthy of every single breath of our lungs, every single second of our day, every single cent in our pocket. And do this not just at Christmas, but praise God with everything for all of our days. With everything for all of our days. You might have noticed in the reading that we got to verse 75 and we see that Zechariah is praying and saying, great, let's serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. If what I said earlier about us not being worthy of all praise, but God is, then we are going to be actually kind of lowering ourselves and raising up God, directing our hearts and our everything towards God, not just when we feel like it, but all of our days. Not just when our friends are doing it as well, but all of our days. In holiness and righteousness. I'll read verse 74 and 75 again. Yeah, nice. To rescue us from the hands of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. In holiness, that is, living according to what God has kind of called you for in the Lord Jesus, in killing sin, putting sin to death, and trusting in his grace. In righteousness, that is, living according to the right relationship that you have with God because of what Jesus has done. All of our days. But as I was thinking about this week, as I was thinking honestly for myself as well, not just for you guys, but I'm like, that's a lot. Am I up for that? Am I actually ready to praise God all of my days? See, it can be really easy to just put on a front and say that God is praiseworthy, especially from up the front and something like this. It's a lot harder to mean it when life sucks. When you're looking at the year that you've just had, when your life is hard, it's a lot harder to praise God. And so what's the secret? How do we get energized to actually love Jesus, to actually praise him with everything all of our days? That has to be looking to him, to our great high priest, to our one who, the one who loves us, the one who came into the world, the one who brings joy, who is kindness, and who went before us in order to give us knowledge of our salvation through the forgiveness of our sins all of our days. Having been the youth minister here, I have had the absolute joy of seeing so many of the people in this room come to Jesus and come to know him and come to see him, come to see the life that they can have in him and start following him and going from not a Christian to a Christian, going from death to life. But being the youth minister here, I've also had heartbreak after heartbreak of young people or older people turning away from Jesus, being distracted by the fleeting promises of this world that offer nothing that will last. Friends, look to Jesus. Let us do what the writer to the Hebrews says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Fix your eyes on the one who knows what it is to be tempted or to be hated by this world. Listen to his goodness as he seeks to grow you and make you more like him. Lower yourself and lift him up, the one who had us in mind when he went to the cross. Not just the days we feel like it, not just the days the sun is shining, not just the days that we kind of have a tangible sense of God's goodness, but all of our days. I'm going to do something. Please forgive me. I'm going to take a selfie, and we're going to pose. Everyone get your best smile on. Ready? Better. Do better. Okay. I'm not going to get everyone in. I'm sorry. 0.5 isn't enough, but let's smile. 3, 2, 1. Nice. Okay. Following Jesus is a bit like that. That's the classic like youth pastor line. As we are following Jesus, as we kind of took that photo, we kind of smiled. We might have adjusted our posture a bit better. We might have kind of like brushed our hair to make sure we're looking good for the photo. But then as soon as the photo was taken, we kind of then slashed again, smile went away. I don't know if you've seen those family photos where like at the mall where the parents kind of get all the kids smiling and then they take the photo and then immediately the kids go back to murdering each other. It's kind of like that. Like sometimes we can kind of put on the front and when we feel like it, we smile, that is, we praise God, and then we just go back to kind of being a bit apathetic and a bit ugh. Friends, look to Jesus. Follow him when people are watching. Praise him when people are not. This can be a challenge, but look to him. I want to clarify just quickly as well that praise doesn't equal only being happy all of the time. You're allowed to kind of feel other emotions. Emotions are a really good thing, but it's what we do with them. Are we letting our temporary kind of emotions control us? Or are we looking to Jesus and holding to Him and trusting Him? If you came to Blue Christmas this Tuesday, you would have seen people that are really wrestling with grief by really clinging to the goodness of God. Recognizing Jesus is King and worthy of all praise is our job. He is the greatest, and so let's praise Him. Plan to praise Him. So you don't just start a career that you know will actually lead you away from Jesus. That you know that in 30 or 40 years, you won't be able to kind of sustain your faith. Don't think about jumping into a relationship that you know isn't going to lead you to Jesus. That you know is just going to drag you down away from your King. Praise Jesus with your whole life, all of your days. Now, as we come to the end, as I come to the end of my time at Christ Church, quite honestly, it's been really hard to kind of find the words to work out kind of what to say. This place means so much to Claire and to I. You each mean so much to Claire and I. As we leave, we trust that the God who has come to this people, to this world, who has come to His people, who redeems His people, and who raises up a Savior for His people, is going to continue to be praised here until He returns. But friends, follow Jesus. Put your sin to death. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him every day until He returns to call each one of us home, because only He is worthy of our praise. I'm going to praise now, so please pray with me. Our Father, we give You great praise for what You have done and for who You are. You are the God who saves, the God who comes to His people. You are the Redeemer, the Holy One, the Patient One, the great and merciful God, the Lord of all creation. Father, help us cling to Jesus. Help us praise Him all of our days. Help us honor and worship Him by putting sin to death, by clinging to His grace, and by holding on to Him. Give us endurance and perseverance to follow Him all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.